It's been less than a year that the public has had the option of exploiting powerful apps and programs using AI. And those programs have been exploding in popularity far faster than the consequences are becoming known. Teens and young people, always early adopters, have taken to the AI revolution with enthusiasm, if not always wisdom and discretion. Consequently, schools have faced a rash of AI-generated nude photos in recent months. Those social media posts victimize innocent students and have led to expulsions and potential legal repercussions for the perpetrators. We look into the problem and if anything can be done. And just a few weeks ago, the House of Representatives passed a bill that could potentially ban the popular social media app TikTok nationwide. Could that really happen? And what is the concern about TikTok anyway? We talk about that and whether you should be concerned. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. We've had a rash of deep fake crimes against young people created by young people. Schools and law enforcement are struggling to keep up with the technology that only became available within the last year and all the unexpected consequences. What are we to make of all of this? Let's bring in our AI expert, Chris Mattman. And Chris, good to see you. He's an international expert in AI and machine learning. And, you know, so the AI revolution has kind of sprung up overnight and caught a lot of people, including school administrators, by surprise. This problem we've seen lately of kids generating AI nudes. Can you explain that to us?
Hal, thanks so much for having me back and having me on. Absolutely. So, you know, since March, really, of this prior year in 2023, with ChatGPT and the advent of text-based AI solutions to write papers for these students and so forth, there's also been technologies like DALL-E 3 and Midjourney and a number of these other AIs that actually generate very believable imagery that's almost impossible to discern whether it's true or not. You know, I've been on this station before talking about the images of the Pope with the Balenciaga sweater, or the images of Donald Trump or Biden being hauled away, you know, for criminal acts that they haven't been convicted of yet. The big concern now is that students are using this to basically generate these deepfakes, you know, that are detrimental to their other peers, nudes, things like this. You could use them for that exact same thing.
Well, clearly, it's so easy, a child can do it, right? No special programs or skills are necessary.
Hal, there are apps on iPhones that allow you to do this now. So all of the AI relies on prior data. And you can imagine that the internet companies that are releasing these AI technologies, companies like OpenAI or even Google or Meta, they're pushing out these AI capabilities. Well, they've been collecting imagery and data, just like they've been collecting text for decades now, in some cases. So they already have these models that are very believable. And then all a student or all someone needs to do is they need to have one of these apps like Midjourney on their phone, or they need to have OpenAI's DALL-E 3. And with these apps, you basically can take those existing models and then take your imagery and use that to generate new fake imagery that is extremely believable in a few clicks of a button.
You know, I haven't seen any of these things, of course, but are they likely to be convincing fakes, or can you kind of look at it and say, eh, you know?
They're extremely convincing, Hal. And, you know, the issue and the problem with that is that you might have seen as well, there's a number of apps that have come out like Remini AI and things like that. And you could see that people are using these to generate pictures of themselves in the workplace, to generate things like headshots. You know, business people are using this. Some people have used it to generate, there was a very popular meme going around, what you would have looked like in high school. You know, and this goes back to high school yearbook pictures of celebrities and things like that. So people are using them for these activities, and they're extremely believable. They're indiscernible to the human eye. There are small, you know, semantic errors. For instance, it might generate someone wearing earrings that has never worn earrings before. But other than that, they're getting more and more believable every day. And that's the challenge.
But either way, they're damaging, right? I mean, it's another form of bullying.
It's extremely damaging, Hal. And, you know, the issues kind of related to that is that, you know, and I'm a father of three kids, including, you know, one who's in high school right now. Bullying, social media, this is how this generation communicates. You know, there have been issues and instances that I've heard of in which there are nudes or, you know, images of these teens, you know, which are criminal in many cases based on their age, being released to friends to use to damage one another. And just imagine using AI to do that, in which the image actually never really existed. So it's extremely damaging. You know, teens are dealing with this nowadays, and it's only going to exacerbate the problem.
So they're already sophisticated enough for us to look at them and say, that looks real. They're getting even more convincing, and likely will get even more convincing. I mean, where's this stuff end?
You know, it ends as we are starting to develop some tools and some capabilities in the technology, you know, space. They call these sort of attribution tools. Google has a product associated with their Gemini API, which is their, you know, tool for AI, to be able to watermark or make images, you know, say this was generated by AI. That's one technology, you know, that's really important, but that handles like images that are generated by the AI for the future. The very convincing fakes that are, you know, available for perhaps things that were generated by other tools and technologies that don't watermark, those are going to be hard to detect. And so you need other capabilities. And it's really an emerging area called semantic forensics, in which you try and identify parts of the image that just don't make sense. For instance, there was a very popular meme going around on social media that was generated by AI of a gentleman who was working in McDonald's in, like, I think it was the 1980s or perhaps the 1970s. And it wanted to show you what it was like back then. And he was actually smoking a cigarette in a McDonald's. It was very convincing. And it was of the worker. The challenge is in the background of that, there was text that was generated that was slightly garbled. And that's one of the little tells of these AIs, is that they're not always able to generate text that is total English or, you know, total easy to read. Those are cues called semantic forensics that you can start to use to build up evidence that whether or not it was watermarked, that it was generated by AI, that it was actually generated by AI.
And we have about a half a minute left, but I mean, this stuff is serious. It goes out on the internet. It lives there forever. Short answer, what can kids do? How can they protect themselves?
I think the biggest things to kind of protect yourselves are, if you're taking photos, and all teens and kids are doing this, be very wary about uploading them to these capabilities and these apps that are out there, both the AI apps and also publishing your photos to social media. The less of that training data that they have, the harder it will be for them to generate those images of you.
All right, Chris Mattman, thanks so much. Good to see you again. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we'll talk more about the problem of these AI body fakes with a state senator who's looking into legislative ways to fight back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. As generative AI takes off by leaps and bounds, really, many of us find ourselves madly trying to catch up. You know, generated nude fakes are just one example, but the California legislature is making moves to address some of the more concerning and unsavory aspects of AI. The man behind several of these new bills address the issue is California State Senator Josh Becker, who represents Senate District 13. That's up in Northern California. Good to see you, Senator. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to see you. Good to be here.
You know, we've been talking about the kids who create their own porn by using AI to put a classmate's head on a computer-generated body. You told us recently you were working on legislation that might make a dent in these cases. How would that work?
Well, first of all, let me just say, it's horrifying what's happening. I have a son in high school, and so to think that these are children who are being bullied using this new technology is just deeply disturbing. And I am working on a package of bills with my colleagues to address it. And just at a high level, you know, we do have laws in place to prevent the distribution of child sex abuse material, but they have to be updated now for this new era of AI. So three things. Number one, I have a bill around transparency. It gets to your last guest to require this kind of fingerprinting, watermarking technology was something created by AI. letting people tell that broadly, because that gets into election disinformation and all kinds of other issues. Two, specifically around this area of child sex abuse material, closing loopholes so that AI-generated sex abuse material is included. And then number three, I have a broader bill around revenge pornography, again, to update our laws to give law enforcement new tools and also victims more recourse to seek justice.
So let's drill down a little bit on this. If AI-generated nudes are classified as child pornography, is that going to potentially ruin the life of some clueless 14-year-old who just thinks they're trying to be funny?
You raise a great point. And a lot of this has to be handled, hopefully, through education, right? Letting kids know this is not a game, this is not a joke, and that there are going to be real consequences. At the same time, we do have to update our laws to make sure that we do give law enforcement tools and to capture and punish perpetrators, people who do this repeatedly, people who do this maliciously, people who are, especially people who are not kids themselves, who are doing this. So a lot of it has to be handled, hopefully, through education, but we do have to make sure that the law enforcement tools are there as well.
One of these bills in the state Senate that you authored addresses artificial intelligence in general. Now, it's SB 942, Senate Bill 942. Tell us about that. And it's moving along, right?
Yeah, moving along. We just had a hearing yesterday. And again, this is broadly around this issue of transparency that your last guest spoke about, helping people tell was something created by AI. Because again, we're seeing these kind of deep fakes show up in, as I mentioned, election disinformation, but also in scams. And it's not just images now, but they can actually clone your voice. Even with a few seconds of your voice, they can clone your voice. They can clone video. And so it's an area where technology is evolving rapidly and the law has to evolve rapidly as well. And since I represent Silicon Valley, I've been an opportunity and a responsibility to help lead here, but it is moving very quickly.
So what specifically would it do?
Specifically, it would require this kind of watermarking and fingerprinting both on images, but also within what's called the metadata, so that if you're a Facebook or something, you can tell before something gets uploaded, was that created by AI. So that's what the bill does.
Now, does that apply also to, say, the ChatGPT sort of thing where a kid might use AI to do a term paper and turn it in?
Exactly. I mean, we're focused on text as well. Again, it's a little more difficult there. And I have a separate bill, which is a working group bill around AI and education. So we're really trying to address this on all fronts. I'll just mention quickly also another bill that's related, because a lot of schools have said, we can't do anything about this because stuff that happens after hours, off school premises. And my wonderful colleague, Josh Lowenthal from Long Beach, has a bill to address this because his daughter was cyberbullied, but it was after hours in an anti-Semitic incident. And the school said, we can't do anything. So he has a bill to address that, which is AB 2351. So we are coming at this from a number of angles.
I have to ask you, we have less than a minute. You do this, let's say it passes on through, it's the law in California, but the internet is worldwide. So stuff comes across the desktop from New York, from overseas, from China, from wherever. And so how do you plug those holes?
Well, it's a bit of an arms race. My bill that you referred to, 942, would address any generative AI company that has more than 1 million users a month. So it'll cover any of the large generative AI companies, whether it's a China-based company or a company based here.
But that would be in California. What about elsewhere?
Well, again, I think this is an opportunity where California can take the lead. Your last guest talked about collecting information. I had a bill last year, the Delete Act, allow people to delete their information from data brokers. It's again a California law, but it'll have a national impact. So if we can get this right, we can have a national impact.
All right. Say, Senator Josh Becker, thanks so much for sharing with us. And I hope you'll be back and keep us updated on what you're doing up there in Sacramento.
Right. Thank you. Look forward to it.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, TikTok users are everywhere and very enthusiastic. But is it possible that what they don't know could hurt them and all of us? We take a look at attempts to ban the platform in the U.S., and we'll be back with that right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We've been talking about the high-tech world of AI, artificial intelligence. But if we're talking about technology that has just exploded, the social media app TikTok is now used by an estimated 108 million people in 2024. But could that be coming to an end? The U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill last March that could potentially ban TikTok nationwide. Joining us to talk about that is Karen North, a USC professor and expert on social media and social networking, and a good friend. Hi, Karen. How you doing? Thanks for joining us. And so why don't you share with everybody your feelings about TikTok? Because I know you have a few.
I do have a few. I mean, it's a very, very complicated situation. It's on the side of good. It's just the most engaging, fun, viral, and, you know, sort of like participant-oriented app that anybody's ever seen. People love using it. They love sharing and they love participating. On the negative side, it's a gigantic data gathering machine. It picks up the kinds of data, personal, non-aggregated data that we really don't want to share about ourselves. And then not only are we sharing it to this company, but a company that is owned by a foreign country that is not the most trusted country, and a country that has a very different standard on privacy than we do.
So let's talk about this and drill down a little bit. The company is owned by, TikTok is owned by a company called ByteDance in China. And first of all, do you think it ought to be banned? Should something be done?
I mean, I hate to say this for all the people who hate me for it, but for many years now, I've said that this is a big problem and that something should be done about the data collection. The only thing that could be done about the data collection is to get it out of the hands of its current owners. So it, you know, it is a problem. But it's easy to explain the problem, and it's very, very hard to come up with a viable solution.
So to understand why you feel so ambivalent about this thing, what is the threat?
Well, there are two threats, really, that people most like to talk about. The first one is data collection and data archiving, primarily with the Chinese government, of individual personalized data, all kinds of information about you, including probably facial scan and things like that, where, you know, when we think about deep fakes and scams, and when we think about just all the kind of, you know, identity theft information and all the privacy that a lot of people say there's no privacy anymore, but there is more than you think, but maybe not with TikTok. That's the first thing. And the second thing, which is really insidious, is, you know, we've looked at a variety of things in the past where communication on social media with the effort, like the election meddling and things like that, a lot of the efforts from foreign adversaries is to try to sow dissent within the United States, to try to make us hate each other. And there's a lot of evidence that TikTok's, you know, sort of content strategy also involves sort of, you know, brewing up some hate in the United States, us against us, in ways that, you know, are really not, it's not just what the algorithm would do for entertainment. It really may have a sort of devious messaging component to it.
You've talked about a couple of sort of types of data that are collected, but don't all social media platforms collect data?
Yes. I mean, everybody collects it and uses it. But, you know, what I always say to people is their country, their rules. And, you know, when you go to a foreign country, you abide by their rules while they're there. And when people come here from other countries, they abide by our rules. The difference is the types of data, the types of personalized data, as opposed to aggregated, like shared, like people like you, as opposed to you personally. And then the kind of storage of that and use of it. The rules in China are very different than they are here. And the big concern is that there's data collection that's sort of unauthorized data collection that is about each and every one of us that's being used or being archived for future use in ways that are not okay with us, but we're using something that is abiding by the rules of another country.
One of the pieces of video we saw while you were talking was the U.S. House and their vote. To you, that vote is really not going to go anywhere?
So two things. Well, I mean, one, I'm baffled, and I'm baffled by the fact that people are willing to vote on like something against TikTok on a election year, because it's just a loser politically. There's so many young people, as you said, 100 and something million people are going to be upset if they can't play on TikTok. So I don't get it. And it's bipartisan. It's like a political strategy that is just shocking to me. But the other side of it is there's no Senate bill. And so if you ever took like seventh or eighth grade, you know, government, you know, it has to pass, or watch I'm Just a Bill. It has to pass in the House. It has to pass in the Senate. Then they have to work out the differences. And then the final version has to go to the president for a signature. So we have the House, and the president said he'll sign it. But it doesn't look like anybody's going to make it happen in the Senate right now. So without a Senate bill, there is no bill. There's no law.
You have to have some gazillionaire who's willing to buy this thing and make it happen. So we have less than 30 seconds here. What's the bottom line?
I love that you asked that. The most likely buyers are, have been looked at before. And it's like Google and Meta and groups like that. They're all the same groups that have been investigated or scrutinized by the federal government as being, you know, sort of monopolies. And we keep saying we need to break them up. They can't own so much. And now we're turning to saying, you need to pour out a bunch of money and buy this. So we're asking them to grow their monopoly to help America while we're investigating them for being monopolistic. So I don't see who the buyers are.
Karen North, USC professor and good friend of the show. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.